Invite you to turn with me to Psalm 34. In our pew Bibles, it's on page 638, Psalm 34. Breaking somewhat from our pattern this afternoon, typically we look together at the Word of God in its summary, the summary of the Word of God, summarized for us on the Heidelberg Catechism, and we've been focusing in on prayer. With a view to the fact that next weekend is Family Day weekend, we are not hosting catechism class in the morning, next Lord's Day morning, and therefore I will carry on with the preaching next Lord's Day to keep us in sync. And so we turn to Psalm 34 and what it has to say to us in connection with the blessing that we may sit together at the table of the Lord this afternoon and taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 34, page 638 in the Pew Bibles. This is the Word of God. Beginning with the superscription that has been given to us, handed down to us through the ages, a psalm of David when he pretended madness before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. So far, from God's holy word, I urge you to keep your Bibles open here to Psalm 34, if you're able, and I'll direct our attention to verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, there are many things that could be said about the Lord's Supper. One of the things we ought to say about the Lord's Supper is that it proclaims to us the very same thing that is preached to us in the preaching of the gospel as the Word of God is opened. And that our entire salvation rests upon the one sacrifice of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Another way of saying that would be to say, God is good. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His steadfast love endures forever. And with the language of what I've designated as our text this afternoon, Psalm 34, verse 8, we want to exult with David and say, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." We have an opportunity to be confirmed in our convictions. We have an opportunity to be strengthened in our faith. We have an opportunity to be nourished for the battle, for the struggle, for the difficulty that we experience in the midst of this world. And I submit to you that what we are given in Psalm 34 enables us to take to the task and to pick up our responsibility with a joy and an eagerness and a confidence of knowing God is good. David begins the psalm by saying, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." Now, we need to appreciate that David is not being trite or superficial. He's not painting on a big smile onto his face, pretending that everything is easy. If you read this psalm carefully, you understand that David knows full well many are the afflictions of the righteous. David is experiencing them, if we are to take the words of the superscription seriously, and I believe that we should, having been handed down by the rabbinic Masoretes that have given us the Old Testament scriptures. If we're to take those words seriously, we know that David wrote this very psalm in the context of great difficulty. The words at the beginning, a psalm of David when he pretended madness before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. If you want to read of that a little further in your devotions with your family later on, you can go to 1 Samuel chapter 21. That's where that event is recorded for us, where we're given the historical details. The context is David was fleeing from Saul. David was fleeing for his life. And David had taken refuge in the context of Achish, the king of Gath. Now, Achish was his name. Abimelech is his title, Abimelech, which means father king. And it was typical for the Philistine kings to have that as their title. Many of them have that same title. It's like saying Pharaoh for the Egyptian kings, or it's like saying Messiah or the anointed for God's covenant people. I bring this up because it's important for us to appreciate that David writes these words, glowing words, speaking of the radiant faces of those who fear the Lord and who put their trust in Him. But these words are written in the context of great adversity, of great challenge. And I trust that that's an encouragement for us in the face of every challenge we find ourselves in today. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see. And what we have opportunity to appreciate here this afternoon is that this should not be just so much talk. God is good. We probably learned it when we were little children. God is good, God is great, or God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for our food. God is good is one of the first things we learned to confess, perhaps one of the first little songs we sang around the campfire. God is so good, God is so good, God is so good to me. But the language of this psalm does not allow us to view these things from a distance. These blessings are to be known and enjoyed, tasted and seen, felt and experienced by the grace of God. And so it's a privilege for us as we gather together in worship to be roused to that sense of appreciation for the goodness of God in Christ, to be strengthened as His word is proclaimed, and to be confirmed as we taste and see that the Lord is good in what He has given us as a reminder and a seal in the sacrament of Holy Communion. So we're going to look at three things together this afternoon when we speak of the Lord's goodness and our tasting and seeing that He is good. We're going to speak of acknowledging, appreciating, and announcing. You get this, I trust, from the way David leads us in this psalm that he penned. Now, I've called attention already to the words of superscription and the time when David was fleeing for his life from King Saul. Not easy days. But as you read the superscription and understand what took place there, you also see that we're being reminded here of David in a circumstance that is kind of embarrassing. These were not David's finest hours, you could say. A psalm of David when he pretended madness before Abimelech, who drove him away. So David was fleeing from Saul, and he comes to find refuge under the care of King Achish, as they said. But then King Achish is starting to wonder, is it really wise for us to have David in our midst? And perhaps in God's good providence, David will be quickly brought to the realization, this statement that some people use at some time. You know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Well, maybe David was going with that idea. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. But the Lord spared him from that folly, because that's not the way of biblical wisdom, that the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Achish was not his friend. The Philistines, as you know, boys and girls, were the arch enemies of the people of God. The Philistines wanted nothing than to see God's people nothing better than to see God's people destroyed. And to have King Saul destroyed for sure, but David, if he was in line for the throne, to have him destroyed as well. Isn't this the one of whom they were singing? Achish had heard all of the reports. Saul had killed his thousands, David had killed his tens of thousands. Isn't this the one? And David realized that they were on to him, and David realized that this idea of the enemy of your enemy is your friend was not a good one at all. And so David feigned madness. Some translations say he changed his behavior, but he let the spittle run down his beard. He was drooling like a lunatic, and he was scratching on the doors like he was some sort of a madman or an animal. And finally, Achish says, "Get this madman out of here. We want nothing to do with him." So David was spared further danger by virtue of this folly. Now, recognize that when David has this over top of this psalm that he writes, he's not boasting about these things, but it gives us context in terms of appreciating what he goes on to say. What does David go on to say? "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord." The Lord had delivered David by means of David's foolish act, and David is not going around saying, "Do you remember when I acted so crazy? Wasn't that something? Wasn't that a great idea?" No, David isn't boasting about his foolishness. David is humbly acknowledging, "I was so foolish. This is an embarrassing thing for me to have to recall. But the point is, it's the grace of God. All glory goes to God. My soul will make its boast in the Lord." I'm not going to boast to you. I'm not sitting here boasting to you of how I pulled that one off and got out from under the crosshairs of Achish or the Abimelech. He says, "I'm going to boast in the Lord." Verse 4, I sought the Lord and he heard me. And he delivered me from all my fears. He's giving God all of the glory. And that's where he exclaims, as we have at the heart of what we're focusing on this afternoon, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. See, David is not boasting about his exploits. David is not boasting about his crazy plan. David is not saying, you should have seen what I did. He's not like we can be sometimes. Sometimes we still take a little bit too much delight in our formerly sinful ways. Sometimes we have it in our lives if we've been particularly delivered. We want to give glory to God, but sometimes we just like talking about those old days as if we're still finding delight in them. David would have none of that. David is acknowledging here, I'm tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. And so when we come this afternoon to taste and to see that the Lord is good, we're not coming as those who are in some ways boasting about the things we got away with or the things we have found pleasure in. We're not boasting as those who say, you know what, I still kind of cling to my sin and I delight in my sin and I'm still living in my sin. That's not the way we come to the table of the Lord. We come as those who acknowledge our weakness, our frailty, and our dependence upon the Lord. We're acknowledging, therefore, that he is good. And we're rejoicing here this afternoon that God has demonstrated his goodness to us in not sparing his own son, but having delivered him up to the cross for us all. This is love. This is the goodness and grace of God, whose steadfast love endures forever. There's no boasting in and of ourselves in terms of what we have accomplished. There is a resting in who God is and what we have come to enjoy in him. In verses 9 and 10, David says, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is a repeated emphasis here on the fear of the Lord. And that's not panic. That's not fearful, afraid, running away. That's a sense of reverence and awe for his children. But what he says, he repeats it in verse 9 and verse 10, there is no want to those who fear him. And those who seek the Lord, verse 10, the second part, shall not lack any good thing. And this is what we rejoice in. We're acknowledging the goodness of God. Since God did not spare his own son, Romans 8, verse 31, how shall he not also along with him freely give us all things? You shall lack no good thing. Your heavenly Father, who is good and who loves you, has not spared sending his son to the cross on your behalf, and so he knows exactly what you need in the midst of every circumstance. You shall not lack any good thing. The promise here is the flip side of the teaching we confess in Romans 8, verse 28. We know that God works all things together for the good of those who love him because he is good. And on the order of, in the same vein as what we're seeing here, taste and see that the Lord is good, we're talking about something that is more than mere words. And so when we say, on a New Testament analogy in Romans 8, verse 28, we know that God works all things together for the good of those who love him, we're not talking about an intellectual apprehension merely. I'm not talking about a mere nodding of the head, making an acknowledgement. We know this blessing, and we've come to taste of it in Jesus Christ. And we're being reminded and encouraged of that here in our worship this afternoon, under the preaching and through the sacrament. We know, we taste and we see. That leads us, in the second place, to speak of more than acknowledging, but appreciating, savoring, tasting, enjoying. and gauging the blessing that is ours as we just reflect upon it. As you take the bread in your hand, and as you can smell the bread, and as you taste of it, you're thinking of the blessing that God has sent His Son, whose body was broken, out of love for you. And as you take this bread and eat it, taste and see that the Lord is good. Reflect upon who Jesus Christ is for you, what He has accomplished on your behalf. And same as you take the cup and as you sniff the wine, you're reminded of the joy of the feast that is ours because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you take the opportunity to savor that blessing and think about it and reflect upon it and rejoice in it. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Appreciate what God in Christ has done for you. Recognize, as we've said, David wrote this psalm where he is speaking with great exuberance and joy. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. In the context of knowing he is still fleeing for his life. But he knows deliverance is promised. He rests on what God has promised him. And we take up this psalm this afternoon in the context where we still have difficulties. Again, David gave voice to that in verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. I don't just have a few troubles. I've got oodles of them. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. And yet he writes in the way that he does. And we need to appreciate God for who he is and what we learn about him here. We learn to taste and savor the goodness of God by means of a psalm like Psalm 34, in that it teaches us how to pray. It teaches us the need for prayer. It reminds us, as we've seen in verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. God sees everything that's taking place in this world right now. God sees you. He knows your heart. He knows your struggle. He knows your fears. We ought to be encouraged in the goodness and grace of God here. And what we're reminded of, His ears are open to their cry. Yes, the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. We just jump down to the end of the psalm. We are encouraged to know in terms of the goodness of God. Verse 21, evil shall slay the wicked. Isn't that something? In God's good providence, those who are wicked, those who hate the righteous, they shall be condemned, and evil shall slay the wicked. That is, God will see to it that those who rise up in rebellion against God will meet their end, often at the hands of evil itself, but ultimately under the condemnation of God, who is the just judge. But the Lord redeems, verse 22, the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. And what we savor here at the table of the Lord this afternoon isn't exactly that. We shall not be condemned. We've referenced Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. None of those who trust in Jesus will come under condemnation. We enjoy peace with God. We enjoy the certainty of eternal life by God's grace to us in Jesus Christ. And the blessing that we have as Christians is that we get to savor this, appreciate it, and think about it. So, I just would take us to verses 17 and 18 in terms of the way we grow in that sense, in that appreciation. It's through prayer. Verse 17, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears, delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. We've already alluded to verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. It's not easy. But the Lord delivers. This poor man cried out, David had said earlier. And the Lord heard him. And again, as we come to the table of the Lord, we are to be reminded of the Lord Jesus Christ, who though he was rich, became poor on our behalf. And who cried out in our place, my God, why have you forsaken me? For a time, the Lord, as it were, did not hear him, that we might never be forsaken. So we can appreciate and savor the blessing. God is gracious to us in Christ. We'll just make a quick connection. I think perhaps I've called attention to this before when we had a brief time with Psalm 34 several weeks ago. When verses 19 and 20 speak of many of the afflictions of the righteous, and the man of sorrows was afflicted because of our sins. We're told the Lord delivers him out of them all. Verse 20, he guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. We come to the table of the Lord Jesus Christ where we speak of his body being broken and his blood shed. But as John 19 reminds us, when they pierced his heart with a spear, not one of his bones was broken, that this scripture might be fulfilled. Which reminds us that the blessing we taste and enjoy is all because of Jesus. And we simply savor that blessing here. As we come to the table of the Lord, we're not suggesting, as David wasn't suggesting, we're not coming, hey, I'm good, I've done well, I've tried hard. No, we're not saying that at all. Jesus is good. God is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And then there's one last thing as we go on our way rejoicing. When we taste and see that the Lord is good, we want to acknowledge that. We want to appreciate that more and more. But now we want to announce that. We want others to know this blessing. We are being equipped with greater joy, with a greater sense of awe in what we have in Christ so that others can join in with us. And that's the way David begins this psalm. At verse 3, he said, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. He can't keep this to himself. He can't keep the goodness of God to himself. Neither can we. Neither must we. Do you not want the world to know? Do you not want your neighbor to know? Do you not want your unbelieving family members to know? Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. When you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, you cannot help but speak of his goodness and grace. And you overflow in the way that David does with this desire. Oh, that we should do this together. You want your children to know these blessings. David speaks of that in verse 11. Come, you children, listen to me. I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. We announce the goodness of God in lives of humble, earnest, heartfelt awe of God. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. And we will point to Jesus and we will say that our life is found in him. The encouragement is found by God's grace. But then it will be shown, as the psalm speaks of it here as well, Verse 12, who's the man who desires life and who loves many days that he may see good? How are we to live in the midst of this world? How was David to live on the run from Saul in the midst of every adversity? How are we to live over against the challenges we experience? Verse 13, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Blessed are the peacemakers, the Lord Jesus Christ has told us in his Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the peacemakers because, he said, they shall be called sons of God. Come, you children, listen to me. We want to announce to the world, by lives of humble devotion to this God of glory, we fear him because he's good. And he's shown us his goodness. And we want you to know that same blessing. And so we proclaim the death, the resurrection, the rule of Christ until he comes. This feast that we enjoy at the hands of our Savior Jesus is a reminder that things are well with us and God. We shall not be condemned. There is therefore now no condemnation. But it's also a foretaste. As we taste and see that God is good, it tastes like more. It tastes like what is to come. We proclaim his death until he comes. He's coming again. He's going to make all things new. And it is going to be good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we rejoice to be able to confess that you are good. You're always good. You're so good that you have loved us with an everlasting love. You have not spared your own Son, but delivered him up for us all. We pray, Father, that you will encourage us as we taste of your goodness and grace, as we live in the joy of knowing you and knowing this blessing and knowing the hope of eternal life, knowing we have peace with you. We are not condemned. Acknowledge as we come to your table, O Heavenly Father, that we do not come as those who have perfect faith. We do not come as those who have lived perfect lives. We do not come saying we are good. We come confessing God is good. And we rest in your goodness to us in Jesus. We pray that you'd send us forth with an eager desire to say to all those around us, oh, magnify the Lord with me. For you are good. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.